It said it didn't expect force. So why did it attack the boat in the dead of night? Why did it attack the boat at 4:30 a.m.? Why did it commence the attack with stun grenades, tear gas, and maybe plastic bullets? If it didn't expect violence. If it didn't intend violence, why did Israel deploy a commando unit trained to kill and not a police unit accustomed to handling civil resistors? The reasonable inference is that Israel wanted a bloody confrontation, although probably not the scale that ensued after Israeli commandos panicked at the passengers' determined resistance and then exacted more deaths. That's the basic picture of what happened. But now the more important point, it seems to me, and here we enter into speculative territory, speculative terrain, and I'll completely acknowledge that, is what's going to happen next. And in order to understand what's going to happen next, I think one has to take into account the full picture. And the full picture goes something like this. Israel suffered a major military defeat in May 2000. It suffered another major military defeat in July-August 2006. Israel then tried to restore its deterrence capacity that our world's hero did in Gaza, but it didn't really succeed. It did, of course, inflict massive death and destruction, but it didn't really impress the Arab world with its military prowess. Rather, the contrary, most people in the Arab world, as in the international community generally, were just left with disgust at the sheer cowardice of the Israeli attack on Gaza. So now Israel has to restore its deterrence capacity. But Israel's problems continue to increase. Israel takes great pride in its commando operations. When they had a commando operation, some of you will recall, this past year in Dubai, and it was, they successfully assassinated a Hamas leader, but it was a bungled operation causing all sorts of diplomatic repercussions. And then there's this bungled operation in the Mahdi Marmara, which I'll get to in a moment. And so now, Israel has a problem on its hands, how to restore the Arab world's fear of it. And the climax of all of these bungled military operations, it came in the Mahdi Marmara. The Israelis were appalled by what happened. They said it was a disgraceful fiasco, a national humiliation. Our deterrence took a bad blow. Not because of the 9 people who were killed at the Mahdi Marmara. Actually, 6 of the 9, according to the UN Commission, 6 of the 9 perished as a result of what the UN report called summary execution, which is to say they were murdered in cold blood. That wasn't the problem for Israel, the 9 deaths, the 6 summary executions. The problem was how poorly it was executed. Israel's naval commandos, the ones who were on the boat, they were and are Israel's best fighting unit. And they're the equivalent of the American naval SEALs. I don't know if Canada has any such equivalent. I'm sure Mr. Harper is trying to, create them. Actually, I wouldn't mind if he became a Navy SEAL. And something happened to the oxygen tank while we were in any event, the commandos were Israel's best fighting unit. And what happened, well, there were about 30 naval commandos who hit the deck of the Mahdi Marmara, and by coincidence, they faced off an equal number of passengers, civilians on the boat, mostly, not entirely, Turks, who had just makeshift weapons. And in the course of the melee, actually, the passengers, they captured 3 Israeli commandos. And one of the persons, a former U.S. Marine, Mr. O'Keefe, who was responsible for disarming 2 of the 3 commandos, he said later, and I'll quote him, They look like frightened children in the face of an abusive father. They look like frightened children in the face of an abusive father. Well, that's not the image Israel wants to project in the world of its fighting force, let alone its most elite fighting unit. One Israeli general was very upset by what happened. He said, it's one thing for people to think we're crazy, that's okay. But it's bad when they think we're incompetent and crazy. And that's the way we now look. So Israel has to restore its confidence, its deterrence capacity. And judging from the most recent reports, the most likely place they're going to restore their deterrence capacity is going to be Lebanon. There have been a series of reports that have been released in the last month and a half from knowledgeable people, such as the former U.S. ambassador to former U.S. ambassador to Israel, Dan Kurtzer. And he says it's likely that Israel will attack in the next 12 to 18 months. Israel has already made clear that it's going to do to Lebanon what it did to Gaza. And they even coined a term for it. Anybody here from Lebanon? Raise your hand. So those of you who are from Lebanon will know there's the area in the south of Beirut called the Bahia, which consists of mostly poor Shia, who are supporters of the Hezbollah. And during the 2006 war, Israel turned the Dahya into a parking lot. Well, Israel was very pleased with what happened with Dahya, and so they coined a new term called the Dahya Doctrine, which basically means that you use massive force against civilians and civilian infrastructure. And Israel says, in the event of another war, we're going to continue to apply the Dahya Doctrine. Now, there's one point in which Israel and its chief nemesis, Hezbollah, agree. So Israel says the next war will be, I'm calling them, game-changing. Hezbollah says, or Mr. Nasrallah, Syed Nasrallah, the head of Hezbollah, he says that the next war will change the face of this region. Mr. Nasrallah has been very clear in a series of speeches this past year. He says the next war is going to be a tit-for-tat war. To quote him, an airport for an airport, a port for a port, a city for a city, a building for a building, a power station for a power station, a factory for a factory. Now, whatever you think about Mr. Nasrallah, about one thing everyone can agree, that his entire reputation rests on the fact that there's an exact correspondence between his words and his deeds, which is to say there's every reason to suppose that Nasrallah means what he says and will, in fact, must do what he promises. And so now you have to ask yourself what Israel is going to do if missiles start heading towards Tel Aviv. There are significant civilian casualties on the Israeli side. The prospect grows more terrifying when one considers that there's no way. So far what I've said is speculation by knowledgeable people, but still speculation. But there's one point at which I think there's no grounds for speculation. And that is that there's no way Israel will accept another defeat in Lebanon. It's just not possible. Before there's a third defeat in Lebanon, they will resort to means to ensure that there is no third defeat in Lebanon. On the other hand, it's hard to imagine that the Hezbollah will accept the defeat. And what's more important, if it seems as if a Hezbollah defeat is impending, it's almost certain that Iran will enter the picture from self-interest, because they know full well if Hezbollah is defeated, they're next. And so you have a scenario where it's quite easy to imagine the war beginning, and there's now a lot of very free speculation about the war beginning, but it's very difficult to imagine how it's going to end, because neither side will accept the defeat. And each side will resort to rather extreme measures, I think, and possibly the most extreme, in order to prevent the defeat. So where does that leave us? The blockade of Gaza continues. Israel still makes it very difficult for construction materials to enter Gaza. The United Nations said that at the present rate, it would take 75 years to bring in the materials needed to rebuild Gaza. Israel also prevents exports from Gaza. making it impossible for the people of Gaza to restore their economy. The humanitarian organization Oxfam, it says that what Gaza needs most are jobs, raw materials for reconstruction, for industry, the ability to export, not just short-term aid in consumer products like jam that without a job they can't afford to buy. Nonetheless, it seems to me we would be very short-sighted in actually with the act of